Imagine waking up every day knowing that you or your children could be beaten, raped, enslaved, or killed with absolutely no consequences for the perpetrators. This is the daily reality for billions of the world's poorest people. While we focus on hunger, disease, and economic development, a hidden epidemic of violence systematically destroys everything good that poverty alleviation efforts try to build. In The Locust Effect, Gary Haugen and Victor Boutros reveal a devastating truth. Violence isn't just a symptom of poverty, it's one of its primary causes. Consider 8-year-old Yuri from Peru, found brutally murdered in the street, her legs bound with wire cables. When her mother Lucila rushed home on a 12-hour overnight bus journey, she discovered a horrifying truth. Justice must be purchased. Without money for a lawyer, her daughter's killers would never face consequences. This isn't an isolated tragedy. For billions of the world's poorest, violence isn't just common, it's virtually guaranteed to go unpunished. For the poor, those meant to provide protection often pose the greatest threat. The World Bank's Voices of the Poor study revealed that across developing countries, police forces function as predators rather than protectors, making poor people more insecure, fearful, and poorer. Bruno, a father selling handmade belts in Nairobi slums, was arbitrarily imprisoned without evidence for a year. Upon release, he found his wife had left with their children, unable to survive without him. For countless poor people, the police are just another gang, often worse than local criminals. In Brazil, victims report, "When the police come here, it is to rob us." In Bangladesh, they're illegal toll collectors. Police extortion operates as an organized system where money flows up the chain of command while officers sexually terrorize women in poor communities. Modern slavery and sexual violence target the poor specifically because they lack protection. Despite global progress, more people are enslaved today than ever before, exceeding twice the 11 million Africans transported during the entire transatlantic slave trade. Most modern slavery operates through debt bondage, as with Gopinath, who, after borrowing just $10 for food, was trapped in a rock quarry for 15 years with minimal pay that made debt repayment impossible. Sexual violence pervades supposedly safe spaces in the developing world, undermining the girl effect, the positive impact of girls' education. Studies show school is often the most common site of sexual violence, with both teachers and peers as perpetrators. These crimes persist not because of cultural differences, but because perpetrators know they can act with impunity when justice is for sale. The spectacular failures of criminal justice systems in developing countries follow a purposeful internal logic. As 80-year-old historian and former senior Indian Police Service officer Kirpal Dhillon explains, these systems were designed to protect colonial rulers from the common people, not to protect citizens from violence. While Britain developed modern civilian policing in 1829 with bobbies who needed to win public trust, they exported a completely different model to their colonies, one designed for control, not protection. Remarkably, this 140-year-old system remains largely unchanged in post-colonial India and across former colonies in Asia, Africa, and the Caribbean. A glaring colonial dysfunction is language. Legal systems operate in colonial languages most poor people don't understand. In the Philippines, the American-imposed English legal system creates barriers acknowledged even by the Supreme Court. In Malawi, the legal system operates in English, a language only 1% of the population understands. Meanwhile, the wealthy have abandoned these broken public systems, establishing parallel private security forces. When corporate executives with investments in developing countries are asked how they protect their people and property, they answer simply, "We buy it." Just as locusts devour farmers' crops, everyday violence devastates the poor in developing countries. Poverty alleviation efforts that ignore violence are futile, like providing education without addressing the sexual violence that makes attending school dangerous. The economic impact is staggering. In India, 13% of women missed paid work due to domestic abuse. In Nicaragua, abused women earned about half what others earned. Over 15 years in Latin America and the Caribbean, violence cut human capital accumulation in half. Violence uniquely devastates the poor. Predators target them as easy victims, and because the poor survive on thin margins, even small losses from violence can be catastrophic. With limited healthcare access and few assets, they cannot absorb the bad luck violence brings. Beyond financial costs, violence inflicts profound psychological damage. Depression, panic disorders, substance abuse, and PTSD, invisible wounds that receive almost no treatment in poor communities. Here's the good news. Every functioning justice system on Earth was once broken. New York City in the 1890s, Los Angeles in the 1870s, Pennsylvania's mining towns, Imperial Japan, and 19th century Paris all had justice systems as dysfunctional as those in today's developing world, proving that functioning justice systems can emerge even in seemingly impossible circumstances. American cities in the 1800s were plagued by violence, with riots and gang warfare terrorizing citizens. This crisis prompted St. Louis business leaders to establish the first modern police force in 1854, a model that spread to 57 major cities by 1880. Reform movements typically began with courageous individuals, investigative journalists exposing police brutality, religious leaders condemning corruption, and civic reformers documenting judicial abuse. Particularly effective were reform-minded leaders within the criminal justice system, who used their professional credibility to drive change from within. International Justice Mission, IJM, demonstrates that change is possible through targeted interventions. In the Philippines, IJM's Filipino team transformed local law enforcement to protect children from sex trafficking, reducing its availability by 79% while increasing victim rescues by 1,000%. Their collaborative casework methodology works individual abuse cases through the system from start to finish, diagnosing broken parts of the justice pipeline, building relationships with system personnel, and proving that justice is achievable. The belief that all public authorities in developing countries are hopelessly corrupt is false. The 15-70-15 rule shows that in most criminal justice systems, 15% are predatory, 15% are committed to justice, and 70% follow whichever group dominates. Success comes from empowering those committed to justice. We must change how we discuss global poverty by giving violence equal attention alongside hunger and disease. Criminal justice expertise must be integrated into poverty discussions, an element currently missing. The path forward requires experimental transformation projects that create real change, teach valuable lessons, and inspire hope. These should focus on contexts with higher likelihood of success rather than failed states. What if we secured for the global poor what we value for ourselves, freedom from violence? Functioning justice systems aren't luxuries, but necessities for human flourishing. Until we address everyday violence, billions will remain trapped in poverty despite other interventions. We must recognize violence not just as a symptom of poverty, but as one of its primary causes, and build justice systems that protect the most vulnerable.